Greetings to each one gathered in this morning in the precious name of Jesus. It's good to see all of you here. Enjoy the service. We do not understand God's movings and all that He does in our lives, but we surrender and we commit ourselves to trust Him. And sometimes He chooses to heal and chooses to relieve us of the suffering or stress that we're in. Other times He chooses to give us strength to bear the burden. Good to see visitors here today. God bless you for coming. A few weeks ago, I was asked to bring a message at another congregation and was encouraged to bring the message here as well, and I plan to do that this morning. The title of the message is Practical Principles of Modesty. Practical Principles of Modesty. You might automatically, maybe sisters, you automatically think that, well, okay, this is going to be a message particularly related to me. Well, there are some aspects of it that are, but it also is a subject that relates to us brethren, us men as well. And it is a subject that, if we step back a little bit, it covers it covers a broad spectrum. When we think of modesty, it's not just something that involves dress. What are the practical principles of modesty? I'd like to look, first of all, just defining some of these terms a little bit and get your mind thinking about this subject. So what is something is practical? What does that mean? Well, practical means of or relating to action and practice rather than ideas or thought. So if something is practical, it's something that you are doing. It's practical. It's not just an idea or a thought, but it's something that is relating to action and practice. What is a principle? Well, a principle is a kind of rule. It's a belief or idea that guides you. That is what a principle is. A morally sound person is a person guided by principle. Think about these terms. A morally sound person is a person guided by principle, a kind of rule, a belief or idea that guides you. Psalm 119, 104, and 105 says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So that is teaching us that God's word is a guide. It lights our path. It gives us principles whereby we can live and chart a course on our life. What does the word modesty mean? Modesty is the quality of being modest. Okay, well, what does that mean? Modest means there's three definitions I'd like to give you. Having a moderate opinion of one's own good qualities and abilities, not boastful. If you're a modest person, you have a moderate opinion of your ability, your good qualities and abilities, and you're not boastful. Second definition means not excessive. And the third definition means pure in thought, conduct, and dress. Pure in thought, conduct, and dress. Now, definition number one, I said, is having a moderate opinion of. Moderate is defined as avoiding or lacking extremes. It's defined as tending toward the average. What does that mean? Well, that means that moderate, that means that you are in the scope of your church culture, however you want to define it, you tend toward the average. You're not way up here, way over here. You tend toward the average. You're moderate. I'd like to read something to you. It's not original with me. We are called to be separate. This is the Christian. We are called to be separate from the world because the Christian value system is completely contrary to the world's ideals. The world values self-expression, self-esteem, and fashion. But God calls us to self-control, self-denial, and a lifestyle that honors Him above all else. The world values familiarity and pushes the boundaries of appropriateness. But God calls us to honor and respect each other out of love for Him. The world values the praise and approval of people, but God calls us to see the qualities of the heart. Well, that was very good for us to think about and to process in our minds. Before I go into talking about the principles of modesty, I want to talk a little bit about image. I want to talk a little bit about image. So, what is image? Image is the general impression that a person, organization, or product presents to the public. That is image. The natural tendency of the human heart is to attract attention to itself. That is the natural tendency of the human heart. The natural man seeks to attract attention to personal accomplishments, physical appearance, and material possessions. Cultures have image identifiers, I call them. And most people are concerned about image. And there is a right and proper way to have a healthy concern or a healthy awareness of one's life and actions. No doubt, when you were getting ready to come to church, no doubt you looked into the mirror and the reason you did that is because you were concerned about your image. Do I have any egg yolk on my cheek? Is my hair combed? Some of us don't have a lot of hair, and that's great. It doesn't take much to care for your hair. But you were concerned about your image. That's why you did it. I was told that I had some spots on my shirt. And the lady folks in my house tried to help me with it. Image. This awareness helps us to find our way in living within what is the socially acceptable norm. That awareness. And it's good to have that awareness. That's good. But I believe that at the core of this subject of modesty is the presence of image. The presence of image. Image is both projected and it is protected. Projected image is the impression that you are sending out. Protected image is what happens when individuals refuse to reckon with the reality of a false representation. In other words, that's hypocrisy. But when individuals refuse to reckon with the fact that they are not what they say that they are, or that they, what it appears to be, their individuals go to great lengths to protect image. To protect image. Now, how am I, or how are you relating to the chemistry of your personal image? Is your heart selfish? Is your heart after God and what God wants, God's principles are? We define modesty as pure in thought, conduct, and dress. Pure in thought. It's what happens in your head. Pure in thought. Pure in conduct. What happens with your hands? What happens with your feet? Pure in conduct. And then pure in what you wear. Modesty has to do with much more than just an outward expression. It is both an inward virtue and an outward expression. It is both. Aaron Shank wrote this in 1969 in the Eastern Mennonite Testimony. He wrote this on dress and the spiritual life. In sharp contrast to this, he's talking about the world's regulations of conduct and appearance are very changeable and usually expressing vanity and discontent and pride and rebellion and sensuality and morality of the heart and so on. He's saying, in sharp contrast to this, the Christian is called upon to live a life of transformation, meekness, modesty, economy, godliness, and deliverance from the world enslavement. Deliverance from world enslavement. And then he lists a number of scripture references. When these great Bible principles are believed in and kept alive, they will be expressed properly and continuously. A principle unexpressed is dead or dying. A principle unexpressed is dead or dying. From the beginning of the Anabaptist movement, Anabaptist and Mennonite disciplines have sought to provide a standard of dress which would best express these biblical ideals of separation and modesty. We believe that world-denying, non-conforming, spiritually-minded Christians will have more respect for the Bible than for the fashion journals, for the church's standards of modesty than for the pride-fostering, lust-provoking designs of the world, and for a God-fearing ministry overseeing souls as those who must give account to God, than for the sensual, unsaved, unprincipled designers of world fashions. Practical principles of modesty. Number one, and it's where I think it begins. It is the principle of the renewed mind. The principle of the renewed mind. Very familiar verses. But I want to read them again. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice that. The perfect and acceptable will of God. Modesty is a heart issue. It is a heart issue. Cleanse that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside may be clean also. Matthew 23, 26. A renewed mind results in a life of sacrifice. A renewed mind results in holy living. Now, the broad brush approach, holy living. You think about your life. Think about practical principles of modesty. I want you to think about a broad brush approach at this point. A renewed mind results in a life acceptable unto God. That's what a renewed mind results in. The whole purpose of life is not to please ourselves. The whole purpose of life is to live a life pleasing to God and in service to God and in surrender and to honor God. God, be not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. When the heart is renewed, the desire of the heart changes from glorifying self to glorifying God. I say that principle number one in principles of modesty is the principle of a renewed mind. Number two, the second principle is principle of humility and respect. Humility and respect. Humility is an inner virtue of self-abasement that expresses itself through a modest expression of one's abilities and gifts. That's humility. It's an inner virtue of self-abasement that expresses itself through a modest expression of one's abilities and gifts. You know individuals, I'm sure, that you can think in your mind of their gifts and their abilities and how they excel in certain things, but yet they're humble about it. And you appreciate it. Perhaps you can think of the other side too and how distasteful and grating that is. 1 Peter 5:5, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humility is essential in maintaining a lifestyle of simplicity and holiness. Humility does not seek to draw attention to, but rather to esteem other better than. To esteem other better than. Humility seeks to honor God rather than seeking to honor itself. A sentence from our decrees for to keep. No, it's not the Bible, but it is what we, a burden of our heart as a conference. May we labor and pray that we will not lose the blessing of the Lord because of a sense of self-sufficiency and social importance. When pride begins to grow in the heart, it begins to manifest itself through efforts of anti-God expressions. So I said, principle number two is the principle of humility and respect. So we talked about humility. Let's talk about respect. Modesty is grounded in a proper respect of oneself and others. It's living a life that does not seek to be showy and gaudy. Respect lives within the boundaries of propriety and reserve. Respect for others. Respect for yourself. We live in a society that has lost its moorings of respect and decency. The further one travels away from God, the more one loses his moorings of respect. Coming back to thinking just a moment about this humility thought again, you could ask yourself, so how fancy is too fancy? Perhaps we would come out in different places. Whether there are 60 of us here, no doubt we would have 60 opinions of how fancy is too fancy. How elaborate is too elaborate? I guess my burden this morning is that although we may come out at some different places on that, we need to come out at a place. We need to come out at a place. And maybe I'm coming out, yes, too fancy. And I need the help of brothers to say, just think about this a little bit. Maybe you need to pull back. And brotherhood comes in. 1 Peter 3:3-4. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, or of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. When I fail to nurture the inward adornment of my heart, I will seek fulfillment through outward adornment. And today, I think that is some of the reasons that individuals express outward things. Can it be that it's giving evidence of a heart not at rest? A heart in pain. A heart that's seeking attention to satisfy something within. Just a note, on a recent trip, the house that we were staying at was close to an event center. And the one evening, there was some party going on at the event center. And as people were coming, going, and mingling around, one of the, I don't know what the word is, but one of the obvious stark contrasts, or I'm not sure what word to give. It stared us in the face. Was men dressed up in suits, very dressed up, and women immodest. Why? Number 3 is the principle of covering and concealing the body. Principles of modesty we're looking at. Number 3 is the principle of covering and concealing the body. Genesis 3 and verse 21. God clothed Adam and Eve with coats of skin. Verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did God make coats of skins and clothed them. Something happened when sin entered the human race. Man, for the first time, experienced guilt and shame, and God clothed Adam and Eve with coats of skin. That word means tunic. Exodus 20, verse 26, command was, that neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered. God is concerned about covering of the body and propriety. Mark chapter 5, 15, the Gadarene demoniac, who was freed from the bondage of demonic control, was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. The way of the devil, it might sound very straightforward, but I want you to think about it and think about your life. The way of the devil unclothes the body. The way of God brings clothes onto the body. I have lived long enough to have witnessed the progression of individuals who have left the faith of Anabaptist thought and doctrine slowly gravitate to a life of immodest expression. A body covered, the body covered does not guarantee modesty. I want to say that clearly. A body covered does not guarantee modesty. A covering of the body that reveals the body is not modest. What is that? Well, abbreviated clothing. Tight, revealing clothing is not modest clothing. 1 Timothy 2, 8 to 10. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh woman professing godliness with good works. Modesty in covering and concealing the body is not just a call for women. It is also a call for men also. Men need to be expressing modesty in what they wear. As the godly head of our homes, fathers, we need to be giving direction to our sisters, are the wives, the women of our house in relation to this subject. It is our responsibility. I want to tell you this, that native to the human heart is the desire to be attractive to the opposite gender and envied by those of the same gender. That is native and working well in the heart of humanity. And it's within, we are human. We're not some superhuman people here. We're human people. We have the same desires. And within our hearts is that desire to be attractive. That's not wrong. But when not brought under the Holy Spirit's direction and godly control, it can become wrong and vain expressions. This desire, when not brought into subjection, leads to vain expressions of extravagance and sensuality. And sometimes I think that we maybe struggle with these things, not necessarily with an evil, malicious intent, but maybe just an awareness that, or maybe just a lack of awareness. I also understand that we bump face to face with casual Christianity and a desire to do what is just comfortable. I'm not saying that that's all wrong. Is a desire for comfort always modest? Number 4. Principle of gender distinction. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord. May God help us to maintain the practice of gender distinction. We live in the midst of an ungodly culture who is wrestling with this very thing. The Bible clearly teaches that men and women are equal in their standing with God. We understand that. We're equal in our standing. But the Bible also teaches that we're on a level plane. However, the Bible also clearly teaches that there are specific gender roles. Today we have the stay-at-home dads, we have the working moms, we have this whole thing of men being, well, that's a whole other subject. Principle number 5 is the principle of quietness. The Greek meaning of this is keeping one's seat. Think about that. Quietness. That's what the Greek meaning is, keeping one's seat. Still and undisturbed. When life is filled with fantasy and ostentatious behavior, that's a big word, ostentatious behavior, there is little room for cultivating quietness. Ostentatious means vulgar or pretentious display designed to impress or attract attention. 1 Peter 3, 4b, emphasize the emphasis is on what God considers of great price, and that is a meek and quiet spirit. First Timothy 2:9 speaks of shamefacedness and sobriety, which carries some of the same thought. I see in a meek and quiet spirit one who has learned to let the winds of life, important word, I forgot, one who has learned to not let the winds of life toss them about, but they're steady and they keep one seat. They keep one seat. It is a picture of grandma who is sitting in a rocking chair. She's rocking back and forth. Not that grandma's lazy, but that grandma has learned over the years to take time for the things of eternal value, investing the lives of her own family and others behind the scenes. And she's there. She's just keeping her seat. You know, you can come to grandma. You can say, grandma, you know, what about this? Some of us can no longer come to grandma or to mother. But a meek and quiet spirit, not loud and gaudy. Learn to develop a meek and quiet spirit. Well, conclusion of this. You can read 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17. We didn't turn to any scriptures. Maybe we should turn there. Turn with me to 1 John 2. I was telling you scriptures. I am not giving you a lot of practical things where this is and this isn't. When I prepared this message, I struggled with that. But I felt God leading me to not really nail down this is modest and this isn't. But my burden is that you would take inventory of your life. Are you a modest person? Fathers, the image that we're projecting and our family is projecting, is it modest? 1 John chapter 2 and 15 to 17, you know the verses. Oh, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And that connects back to Romans chapter 12, that ye may prove the acceptable will of God. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world passes away. Romans 12:2 teaches us to prove the will of God. 1 Peter 1:14 in closing. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let us kneel to pray.